What's going on, guys? Welcome to the 9th episode of the Barrier Sports Talk Show with Cody Rodriguez. I am your host, Cody Rodriguez. And I hope that's the 9th. I hope this is the 9th show. If it's not the 9th show, it's the 10th show or the 8th show. If it's not, it's one of those two. I know it's the 9th show. It's got to be a 9th show. So as I put on Twitter recently that I am going to be changing the schedule of me doing the shows to make it easier for you guys to listen to them, and I have to listen to 5,000 shows in like 1 week, you know, so I'm going to just keep it to a very, very easy schedule. I put on Twitter and I let everyone know this, that on Fridays I will be my shows will be recorded, will be published on Fridays and Mondays, so that's when they'll be released and you guys can listen to them and everything. Just for the fact that, you know, it'll be easier and you have like the Friday show will be covering like the whole week, which would be like today will be a Friday show. We're going to be covering the whole week of news and what's been going on and everything, and then give a preview of the weekend going on for all teams. And then on Monday would be like a recap of what happened on Saturday and Sunday, and a preview of the week to go on. So I'm actually doing this podcast on Thursday night. So you'll be listening to this on Friday, but it was a day after the day before I released this. So I won't have a Sharks recap of tonight's game against Detroit, but it will be a good game. Hopefully you guys watch that or did watch it. On tap today we have some Niners news with Alex Smith being involved in it. I'm pretty sure some of you guys have been heard. If you're a bit under a rock, you might want to listen to that part. Then we're going to three games of what the war has been going on lately, including a stellar performance by Steph Curry last night in Madison Square Garden. We'll get more into that. And also Jared Jack, too. I think we have Jared Jack in there, too. Against San Antonio? Nope. No Jared Jack. No Jared Jack. That was the last show. We also have one Shark game recap. Is there only one? Let me see. It is... Yep, just one. Just making sure, because I wrote my schedule before, I put a couple games, but then I had to think about it. I was like, wait, no, it should just be one. The Monday show, I'll get into Friday's game. Not Friday's game, but today's game for Detroit and the Sharks. And then we have a couple of game previews for the Warriors and a game preview for the Sharks that's going to be happening this weekend. But with all that being said, let's get right into it with the 49ers make some news. Probably the biggest acquisition so far in this NFL offseason is the Niners announced that they have agreed to terms with Kansas City Chiefs to trade backup quarterback Alex Smith to the Kansas City Chiefs for two draft picks, a consensual draft pick for the 2014 draft and a second round 2013 draft. It won't be official until March 12th. That's when all business stuff goes official for the NFL. So you still have a chance to get all your Alex Smith 49er jerseys as of right now at local retail stores. But on March 12th, you'll be seeing him in Kansas City. And he will place Matt Castle for sure in Kansas City, while Kaepernick will take over the starting job in San Francisco, no doubt. But you know, I thought that the Niners should have kept him, but I don't know if for the contract he had under him. He had, I think it was $13 million for, and it was just you're spending all that money for a backup quarterback, which is ridiculous. But then again, now you're at the point, because we have all seen how Kaepernick plays. He's flexible. He's out of the pocket like most of the quarterbacks this generation. But stuff like what happened to Robert Griffin III, where he's running around the pocket a lot, and sooner or later he's either gonna get mess up something with his triceps or something. Not triceps. What's the freaking word I'm looking for? He's gonna get a quad strain or something like that. I think it's something with his leg, hamstring. Hamstring! That's what I'm looking for. So something with the hamstring might happen, and or he just gets knocked out with his ankle and everything. And then you're sitting there, and Kaepernick could get injured for like 2 to 4 weeks, or maybe 4 to 6 weeks. And you're sitting there, saying, who backs up Alex Smith? Then you have to go to the free agency and see if you can pick up someone for just that quick of a span, or who is your backup quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers as of right now? I think the Niners, they could draft someone in the upcoming draft to be a backup, but then you're doing the whole Kaepernick experience thing again. It's like, this guy's never started a game before. Let's throw him out there, you know? That worked one time, okay, but if it works the second time, there's a highly chance it doesn't work. So, I mean, it's good that Alex Smith is going to a team that would actually need him. It's Kansas City fans, you should be happy that now you actually have a head coach, a decent head coach, and a decent quarterback. Because if you look at the free agency right now and all the quarterbacks that were available, Alex Smith was the best option out there. I mean, Alex Smith is the best option that had no choice but to go to Kansas City. No one on the free agency or anyone else was like, hey, I have a chance to either go play for like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or something like that. Oh, I go to Kansas City. I might go to Kansas City. No, no one's saying they want to go to Kansas City. So, Chiefs fans, be excited that you have Alex Smith. You know, I think I told my friends this, is that the Chiefs adding Alex Smith doesn't make him a better team from right now. But when Alex Smith learns how the team goes and how his wide receivers, how his running backs are, like Bo and Jamal Charles, and you have that first-round draft pick. If you draft someone really good, maybe on defense, maybe on offense, maybe. But if you draft someone really good, they won't be a good team this year, but I'm for sure they'll be a better team. They'll be a better team in the next 2 to 3 years. Because just how, I don't know if it was maybe just how Jim Harbaugh was with Alex Smith, but when Smith the past 2 years has been outstanding. And if he can do that in Kansas City, there's no doubt this Chiefs team can be a serious contender and go back to the playoffs. But will they beat the Raiders? Probably not. Will they beat the Chargers? Eh. Will they beat the Denver Broncos? Oh, hell no. So the Chiefs are not a good team right now, but in the future, with Alex Smith out in there and David Bowe and Jamal Charles, their team is looking good for the future, and that's what it's about, is who is going to be there in the future, not right now, and Smith is the key. So, good for the Chiefs, a little bad for the Niners. I mean, you just give them up for, you get 2 draft picks out of it, so maybe you use those draft picks, well, you use a draft pick in the 2013 for a quarterback, a backup quarterback, so. Because I think Niner fans are smart enough to know that sooner or later Kaepernick will get hurt the way he runs and everything. It's just the whole generation of how quarterbacks are these days. You don't see Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Drew Brees get hurt or Aaron Rodgers because they stay in the pocket. They just stay there. They might go out for a little bit, but they're not going out every other play. But the thing with Kaepernick and RG3 and Michael Vick, is they all just like spread around and they act as if they're running back. They bring up that thing. So I think there's going to be a backup quarterback needed in San Francisco just in case. That will be my plan B just in case something happens. So let's go into Warriors. That'll be next on schedule. The Warriors have 3 games with my absences in this podcast. There was only one good game, and that was last night's game, but the other 2 games were all right. Let's go on this. The 24th was Monday. Okay, so Monday. Monday, the Golden State Warriors went to Minnesota to start their road trip, and they faced against the Minnesota Timberwolves and Ricky Rubio. And without, they still don't have Kevin Love or anything, but the Warriors were, the game was basically the Warriors were on the edge of their seats just trying to pull out a win, and they do with a 100-99 victory, a 1-point lead, and that was how close of a game it was. And the game was going back and forth a lot, as you can see from the stats, from shooting-wise. Minnesota led the first quarter with 32-18 points. That was a bad first quarter, but the second quarter made up for 34-23 shooting for Golden State. Then the third quarter was 26-24, pretty even, and in the fourth quarter it was 24-18 Golden State. So it was going back and forth. But the whole key thing, again, like I mentioned way before in my last podcast, is the Warriors starting on a bad note, you end on a bad note. And I think if the Warriors weren't as good as they were in that game, they lose that game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, because we see that 32-18 in the first quarter. Every game I've talked about and looked at the stats, whenever they're trailing in the first quarter, it's a loss, and it's shown in all these games that I've recorded. On Wednesday's game against Indiana, lost the first quarter 31-25, lose the game 108-97, and then last night's game against the Knicks, 18-27, Knicks had a good start, and then ended up prevailing 109-105. You need to have that good start to keep the team in bases, have a good lead. And the one time they had a good lead in the first quarter was against, I believe it wasn't San Antonio, but they ended up winning the game. So you have that good first start, the first quarter start, and then you prevail and win the game. That's how I see it. And, you know, it's shown before, and today was a good example. Well, not today, but Monday was a good example. Both teams did great, honestly. Jack had 23 points, which was a team leading with going 5-7 from 3-point range. That seems really good. Wait till we get to the next game. Lee had 22 points and 13 rebounds, another double-double for him, of course. And Curry, disappointing, only had 18 points, going 6-for-15 from the field. So Golden State goes 100-99 against Minnesota and pulls out another victory. But then they go to Indiana, and that was probably the most exciting game to me, besides the Knicks game, because of the little fourth quarter brawl. We'll get into that later. Scoring rise, it was another back to forth game. 31-25 in the first quarter due to Indiana, 28-23 to Golden State, 31-20 Indiana, and 24-23 Golden State. And honestly, I was watching the game. The game was in Golden State's hands. They could have won this game. It was just that bad third quarter when the Pacers put up 31 points. It was basically done, whatever you did, because Pacers just had the better. Just went on more better and started off great, and that shows you with the 31-20 and also 31-25 in the first quarter. The game was going back to back until the third quarter, about third quarter. Then there was the fourth quarter brawl, as I'm pretty sure everyone saw on ESPN and NBA TV, whoever was watching the game. It was between David Lee and Roy Hibbert, and it was just between a scuffle of rebound, and David Lee pushed Roy, and then Roy pushed back David Lee, and then it just went all together. And there was a total of 6 technical fouls. Yeah, 6 technical fouls were given, including Roy Hibbert being ejected and possibly be suspended, which we'll get into that later. The 6 technical fouls went to Lee, went to Lee, West, Curry, and Clay. And, you know, Curry had a pretty good point, a pretty good game, honestly, playing the whole game along with David Lee. Curry had 38 points, the team high, going 14-for-20, and also going 7-for-10 behind the arc, which is pretty good. Again, wait till I get to the next game. And then Lee had 12 points, 12 rebounds. It's not really outstanding, but hey, it's another double-double. He leads in that category in the NBA. He might as well keep it up. So Warriors lose that game 97-108 to the Indiana Pacers. Can't wait for that rematch. It would be great to see what Hibbert and Lee do. And then we get into the last night's game in Madison Square Garden. Madison Square Garden. Lee did not play due to be suspended for one game during that scuffle along with Roy Hibbert. So they're suspended both for one game. And Mark Jackson gave the green light to Green to give the start in order in Lee's place. And also Beadrian got the start at center due to Bogut's back. Scoring went like this, 27-18 New York, 37-31 Golden State. Very good second quarter. 26-26 third quarter and a 25-24 fourth quarter in New York. So again, back to that saying, first quarter bad first quarter start lead to a bad result in the game, and it showed. And also turnovers too. Turnovers has been a big deal along with Jared Jack, and we'll get into that. But the turnovers has been horrendous, especially in this game against the Knicks, and it was dreadful to watch. The Warriors shot 75%. One key thing from this game was Warriors shot 75% from 75% from the field in the second quarter. Curry made 11 of his three-pointers, making a franchise record. Hold on. He also was the first visiting player to drop 50 or more points in Madison Square Garden since LeBron in 2009 with the Cavaliers. And he finished the game off with 54 points, which is the most any player has scored since the NBA season this year, which is pretty good. He also had 7 assists, going 18 for 28 through the field, 11 for 14 from the arc. But other than that, there was two key turnovers when the Warriors were going back and forth with the Knicks at the last minute. Two turnovers that cost the Warriors deeply. A travel by Jared Jack, and then also a fist to Lee. Gave the ball up, just trying to inbound the ball, giving the Knicks basically the game and making it a 109-105 start. So basically, even though Curry did have 54 points, that's a great showing from Curry. It's a little bit more better to have that win under your belt, especially with scoring 54 points. But if you look at it again, not a lot of the team contributed. I think Jared Jack had 13 points, that's the second highest. But when the guy's dropping 54 points, yeah, no one's really going to contribute, honestly. Other than that, the game was on ESPN, so if you didn't catch it, shame on you. You should go to hell. But, you know, Warriors, coming from that game, I think the next game, the Warriors, maybe this weekend, the Warriors have a good chance, maybe. I said that last time against the, when they went to Milwaukee, and that was fun. So, Warriors lose 105-109, and they are still in the Western Conference standings in top 8, so that's always a good plus. And you know, let's go with the preview right now. The preview, they are facing Friday night against the Boston Celtics and Saturday night against the 76ers. And like I said, if the way the Warriors have been playing lately, you know, they play like they did in Madison Square Garden, there's no doubt that the Warriors will be able, they should handle the Celtics, especially the San Franciscos, with the, like, it was like it's nothing. It's like slapping a little baby across the room. It'll be like nothing. And I think the Warriors can do that, especially with David Lee coming back. If David Lee was in that game against the Knicks, there's no doubt the Warriors win that game. But I think with him coming back for against the Boston Celtics and against the Philadelphia 76ers, there's no doubt that the Warriors should be able to handle them. And then they'll go on to face maybe the toughest team on this road trip. Just looking on paper and how they've been playing, Monday they face the Toronto Raptors and Rudy Gay. Just adding Rudy Gay to that lineup made them a tougher team on paper, like I said. So make sure to catch those games in Boston and in Philadelphia Friday and Saturday. Good games, good key games to watch, and they won't be disappointing, that's for sure. None of these games will be. So if you're a Warriors fan, you should be happy, should be excited to see what's going to be going on, especially with Curry dropping 54 points. The little thing to hold your head up and say, yeah, we did that. Let's get to the Sharks recap. They only have one game. Like I said, I'm doing this on Thursday, so there should be two games, including the Detroit game, but it's only one since I'm doing this. Sharks play, we're facing against the Colorado Avalanche, first game coming up at HP since their horrid road trip. And it was a good game. It was a good game to watch. It was a little bit on your seat saying, if we lose this, it was a key game because they're off in the standings in the top 8. And we need a game 2 points, put them back in that top 8 and put them back in that discussion of, are they going to make it to the playoffs? And they needed to win this game to prove to everyone that they're still the San Jose Sharks that everyone should fear when they're coming to San Jose. And it was perfect timing because now you're back in home ice, and you're no longer on the road. And It showed that right off the bat, 30 seconds, thanks to a beautiful pass by Joe Thornton. Logan Couture scoring his seventh goal, 30 seconds into the first period, making it a 1-0 game, and the HP was going nuts. And you knew the team saying, you know, we're done. I'm done taking this crap from any other team being tossed around. We're going to start putting our foot down and start winning some games. But then 8:11 to the first period, and Coberso scored for Colorado, making it a 1-1 tie game. Colorado had two penalties, and San Jose only had one in the first period. Shots on goal was 16 to San Jose and 11 to Colorado. And like I said, score was 1-1 first period. Second period started, and 17 minutes into the second period, TJ Gallinari scored his first goal of the season, thanks to another beautiful pass, I believe it was from Jason Demers, making it a 2-1 game. And, you know, I think it was, the pass was just beautiful, but it also TJ Gallinari crashing the net, like everyone is emphasizing, said the Sharks need to crash the net and score points. And there, and it was perfect. And the way that everything came out to be was right on top. There was only one penalty for Colorado in the second period, zero penalties for San Jose, making it a 2-1 San Jose game. Shots on goal were 6-14 San Jose. And I believe the Sharks had 44 shots on goal at the end of the game, and it's 44-28, I believe, and that is showing you a different Sharks team than we've seen this past road trip. Third period starts, and with 3 minutes left in the game, Oliver scores, making it a 2-2 game. Two penalties for San Jose, two penalties for Colorado, one penalty for San Jose, making a 2-2 game, like I said, at the end of the third period, going into the overtime with a 1 minute penalty for the Sharks to overcome and try to get this game over with, which is a good start for the Sharks. They always need those penalties, power plays. Shots a goal for the first time in the game. Colorado overscored the Sharks in shots, making it 10-8 Colorado. Over time, nothing really happened. San Jose started off, like I said, with a power play, but couldn't capitalize with the great defense. And then we went to the shootout. The Sharks lineup consisted of Hanzus, Pavs, Boyle, and yep, it went to a fourth round. For the first time, I think this season, shootout went to the fourth round. We'll get into that. So the first shot, Hanzus comes up, and Hanzus has been excellent in shootouts since we've seen like almost every game was a shootout. And he does it again. He scores on the top the two-hole, I believe. The two-hole or the one-hole. It was up on top of the net and made it a one-goal advantage for the Sharks in the shootout. But then later on, the third period, third round of the shootout, last chance, I have no clue how to say his name, so I'm going to just go along with it. Colorado scores their third, scores the goal, making it, forcing the game to go into sudden shootout, sudden death. And Patrick Marleau came up, and he's basically given the fifth hole, the five hole, and Patty just came up and blasted right through the legs, making it a 2-1 advantage, and soon enough, Miami gets the block, giving the Sharks their first win off the road trip, and it's a good start to the homestand. Like I said, today they play. You know, when you're listening to this, yesterday they will be playing the Detroit Red Wings. Hopefully, that is a good game to watch. I predict that every time the Sharks play the Red Wings at home, they always end up winning. But I think this time it might be a little bit different. I think the Red Wings looked pretty good against LA. Last night, so I actually will be predicting Detroit Red Wings beat the San Jose Sharks. Other than that, let's see. Colorado's goal, the third goal, like I mentioned, that sent the shootout to go to a fourth round. It barely got through, honestly, because Niemi had it. But the more he kept on going back into the net, the puck just went through him, and he was befuddled that it went in the goal. Even I was befuddled because I saw a block. I was like, that's game, and it went through the net. And I'm like, never mind, we're going to the fourth round. But it was a very, like I mentioned, it was a very much needed win to bring the Sharks back to the top eight of the Western Conference Finals, go to the playoffs, and hopefully this is a good start for the Sharks. Keep this going up, and to show everyone that this is a team to not be messed with, and this old Sharks team is over and done with. For preview for the weekend, Sharks play the Nashville Predators. Once again, they come to town. Pecorini and all those great freaking Predators, fucking assholes, come to San Jose Saturday and to face, square off against Niemi, hopefully. I think that game, you'll be seeing Thomas Greiss. I think you put Niemi in there for the Red Wings, so, and there's going to be Thomas Greiss against Nashville, so. That's my prediction, and I predict that the game goes into another shootout. It's a tight game, and the Sharks win the shootout against Pecorini. And, yeah. So, with that all being said, and, oh, also, too, and one of my future shows, I'll be announcing a giveaway. I'll be, like, giving away something for whoever listens to the show and answers a question I give and, you know, so on. Just to give back to people who actually listen to the show, who actually give me views, who actually put me where I'm at right now. So I'll be giving away something. It'll probably be, whatever I come up with, you guys will be like, that's total bullshit. But then, like, 2 minutes later, you'll type it up on Facebook and it end up winning the prize. So, sooner or later, maybe Monday show, maybe next week, Friday show, I'll come up with something, tell you guys what it is, give you a question to answer on a certain date, and then whoever comes up with the question answer first will win the prize, obviously. So other than that, hopefully you guys enjoy the show. Sorry that I'm doing this on a Thursday night. I don't have a Sharks recap for the Detroit game. But hopefully you guys like what you listen to. Make sure to tell your friends to listen to the podcast. Spread the word out. It can be wherever. And I'll talk to you guys later on Monday.